Okay, I reopen this meeting. We're going to talk about a couple of papers on offsetting financial assets and liabilities. I give the floor to Christian for introductory comments. Please, Christian.
Thank you, Hans. Offsetting of financial assets and liabilities. We have four papers for you to consider today. Paper 6A deals with, it's more or less a way forward paper to ask you whether you want to retain the offsetting guidance in IAS 32 or you want to change that for the revised ED approach. The subsequent papers deal with issues that came out of comment letters and how the staff is proposing that the board can resolve those issues. So I'll jump to paper 6A. You took a decision last month when you discussed the issue of the FASB that you preferred a revised ED approach. At that meeting, you discussed one of the alternatives that came up was the IAS 32 approach, which you did not vote for, but you voted for a revised ED approach. But you took that decision in the light of a joint project. So the staff is coming back to ask whether you want to pursue that approach and replace the guidance in IAS 32 or you want to retain the guidance in IAS 32. There are very valid reasons why you might consider changing the guidance in IAS 32. Some will argue that the guidance in IAS 32 has worked well and has held up in a crisis, and hence there's no need to change it. Some also say that since there's no convergence project, the impetus for changing the guidance in IAS 32 is no longer in existence, or there's no need to change IAS 32 for that matter. Others believe that as a result of opening up this particular project, a few issues have come up which show that there is considerable diversity in practice, that once you've come this far, it makes sense to just complete and resolve those issues. All the issues that respondents identified with the ED approach are also relevant for IAS 32. For instance, legal enforceability, there is no guidance whatsoever in IAS 32 as to how you determine whether a particular right of offset is legally enforceable. There's also considerable diversity in practice as to what simultaneous settlement means, even among or within the same accounting firm, for instance. You talk to an accounting firm in the UK, you go to the same firm in Asia, and they give you a different interpretation of the same paragraph. In fact, there was one of the major banks in the UK during the crisis had to be taken over by another UK bank. And they had to restate their financial statements because of the offsetting guidance, because the new auditors didn't like the way they were applying IAS 32. So it opens up a lot of issues that we believe, having done all the work and coming this far, it makes sense to just resolve and clear up all the confusion in practice. Some also argue that it's conceptually it's a much better approach, as you also voted out last month. So these are the issues. I'll turn it over to the board to discuss whether you want to retain the guidance or you want to change the IAS 32 guidance.
Thank you, Christian. Listening to your introduction, it's pretty clear where your sympathy lies. I would advise the board. All of us know that this is Christian's last performance here today, and we all like Christian very much. But I would ask you not to let that influence your decision. Okay, so I open the floor to discussion. PK.
Christian, congratulations, first of all, for your excellent stint here at IASB. I particularly enjoyed your performance at the board table with a poker face, but leaning gently, deftly, asking the board to tilt you away was always your forte. The point I want to make is that I think you have raised an excellent arguments for why we should move from IAS 32 to the amendments or to the clarifications that you have so well articulated in all these papers. The point I want to make is slightly on two fronts. One is that I have I was torn between quite a bit whether I should stick with 32 or go for it, but I finally decided that we should stay with 32. And the reasons are manifold. Some of them have you already articulated in paper, and I don't want to repeat them. The other point I want to make, and I think it is, I don't know how much you heard the previous discussion we just had on IFRS 9, and I think it's valid that, you know, there is out there an expectation from all our constituents to fix what is broken. And what is broken, to a large extent, by all the parties, is the impairment. And we haven't come to any conclusion on that. And I am tacking on people to do something on something which has worked well, which has not been criticized. And initially, if I remember the discussions with the FASB, was that we didn't want to, as a FASB, to join 32, but we said, let's look at it freshly. But there were a lot of people at the table said, no, let's stick with 32. Let the FASB come towards 32. So on the balance, I don't think it's the right time to go for this. And I would recommend to go easy on this and decide at a later stage, after we are done tying up all the other aspects of IFRS and come back. So that's all I wanted to offer to you. But anyway, it doesn't mean I don't like you.
Philippe.
Well, I like to share to join BKS in saying that we will miss you. Like BK, I think they all say if it is not broken, don't fix it. Is important. The reason why we started with this project was to converge with the US. Clearly, it's not going to happen. So we don't have this good reason. And IS-32 works. There are some problems, okay. And a lot of good work has been done to clarify IS-32, but without changing basically what's in it. So I'm balancing between saying it's not broken, don't fix it, leave it as it is, and also losing all the benefits of all the hard work which has been done by the staff, and which is useful. So I'm asking myself, is there a way we can make use of this work in educational materials, in other forms, to clarify the application of IS-32 without making a change to the standard itself? Have you considered that possibility? Or do we really need to go through a change? And keep in mind also there is a lot of fatigue with constant changes to the standards, and people now are more and more resisting changing the standard, even a little, just for the sake of a marginal improvement when there is not a strong reason for doing so, such as convergence. So to add to the table of our constituents another change to the standards without this convergence reason, and without a clear demonstration that what we have is broken, leads me to think we should not change it. But at the same time, the need for clarification, maybe in certain areas, is there. So either way, we can make use of this work to clarify by educational materials or otherwise those areas where the standard is applied differently by two firms, which should not happen. And it's clearly a problem.
Is there a way to... obviously, not all the changes you propose could be dealt with in that way. But is at least part of the work could that be used in this manner, as proposed by Philippe?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether there is a way of doing that. I think one view is that it is not broken, so it works well, and I cannot dispute that so much. But others will also argue strongly that, for all the different reasons that we've outlined in the paper, it is difficult to argue that it is working well in practice. Because where the same accounting firm in different regions are taking different views on a particular matter, then there should be a cause for concern. And hence, once you've come this far, it just makes sense to just wrap it up and eliminate all the inconsistencies and the difficulties that preparers and people have in practice today.
Are we sure that we don't need to issue an exposure draft? Is it unit of account issues and things like that?
Hold on. First, Daryl.
6 months ago, I probably would have been of the view that there was nothing broken with the existing standard and that there was nothing wrong with it. I operated with it in my old job, and I operated in an industry that applied it, I assumed, uniformly. And certainly all the user feedback we ever got was the assumption that was being applied uniformly. To my mind, the outreach process we've had over the last 6 months has identified some significant areas of diversity in practice. And I think the only reason that people thought this wasn't broken was because there wasn't sufficient transparency into the way it was being operated and put in place. So I actually think for us to have identified this level of inconsistency in practice and then walk away from it is almost a dereliction, to be honest. Whether that means at the end of the day that we take the process of trying to fix IS 32 or amend IS 32, or whether we go down the route of actually trying to issue a new standard, I'm not fussed either way, but I don't think we can take the feedback we've got and walk away from it. I think it's just indicated too many big issues. And as I say, the issues to my mind are both in application, but also in lack of transparency as to how that application worked in the past.
Ian,
just in response, Darryl, just quickly, I take your point entirely. You know, we may need a new standard or fix it, but also the possibility of interpretations, I guess, for some of this diversity could help as well.
They go.
Now, Christian, help. Thank you very much for the hard work in the past few years. And even though you won't leave us soon, but personally, I will always remember you say in front of us, staff believe. I said, no staff. Say so many times, staff believe. And I will remind you always. And whether we should finalize this project, and you highlight some of the factors, but you not mention one of the important factors. This is what I want to check with you. You know, the project start with the purpose to have joint resort, and now we're not able, mainly because of the unconditional side. My question to you is, whether you can tell us, even though we're not reaching consensus on conditional side, but on the other hand, we jointly reach something, will improve the practice. I think this will be, if you can just give us, you know, answers, it will give us, you know, strong basis we should finalize. And we can tell the world, you know, we still jointly improve something and reach same consensus.
I think one view is that the revised approach brings you either to the same place or closer to the basic offsetting model in USGAAP. And hence, one can argue that you also convergent to some extent, if not overall, some aspects of the offsetting guidance, you're convergent with the US approach. Also, there are some areas that, for instance, they get offset, but people, in applying the simultaneous settlement guidance in IS 32, some look to FIN 41 to be able to apply IFRS, which I think is unfortunate. If you have to leave your gap to look to another gap to be able to apply your gap, then it's quite, your accounting, then there's a problem there. But with the revised approach, I think that problem will go away because we're improving the guidance in such a way that you'll get the same accounting outcome in a more elegant way, I'll probably say.
Very good salesman, this young man. Paul.
We are speaking as if the choice is keep 32 or take your proposed amendments, but we haven't talked about disclosure. And we discussed that earlier at this meeting, and I think even regardless of how we come out on the issues you've identified for the inconsistencies in practice, I think all or most of us, I can't speak for everybody, I can speak for myself, I think we need to go forward on the disclosure proposals. But then that brings me to my question. Can we, in addition to the tables that you've proposed that we disclose, can some of the inconsistency in practice that maybe users don't know about because it's buried, is there some disclosure we could add that might help in that regard without actually amending 32?
I think it depends on the type of user and what you want to use the information for. If you see the net number on the face of the balance sheet to be a particular type of number, then how you get to that number is very important. Although you can disclose how much you've offset to get to that number, if that number itself is very important to you, then how you get to that number becomes important. So I think it's, to some extent, it does resolve some of the problems, but I don't think it resolves all the problems.
Okay.
I'm strongly in PK's and Philippe's camp. I think we clarified some things. There's divergence in practice, but if you go for a new standard, you will have new areas of uncertainty and new divergence in practice in areas where you think the wording is pretty clear, but practice will consider it's going this way and that way. So you are not improving, you are just shifting it for something where we do, by our understanding, minor changes to what we have in place already. Considering all the changes we are undergoing, I would strongly argue against that. We are seeing part of that happening now in consolidation, where we did some changes and we raised new questions by that. So you're never getting to full consistency. But at the same time, I wanted to mention exactly what Paul said. We definitely did improvements on the disclosure front. And I think something to get more transparency in. And we need to implement, I would strongly argue, to take that part and implement it. And by that, you might be able to put some guidance out on how you meant certain things to get to some more consistency there. So I would strongly argue for keep IR32, but add additional disclosure. And so keep that part of the work.
Pat.
Thank you. Christian, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, and you finished in brilliant form. This is outstanding work, so my hat is off to you. I am unquestionably in the camp of retaining the value of the work that you've done, and that would mean alternative A. I think it's absolutely important that, given the amount of time and effort and insights we've gained from this project about the current status of reporting, accounting and reporting, particularly for derivatives, we should retain that. You've clarified four critical areas in the accounting under IAS 32, principally, you know, the issue of enforceability, although that wasn't, I think, the most widely disputed issue. But with respect to issues around simultaneous settlement, collateral, and unit of account, that work, I think, is extremely valuable. More importantly, the disclosures that you've developed as a result of that insight around those issues, I think, will greatly inform investors. And when you look at some of the high-profile failures that came out of the crisis, this kind of presentation would have greatly enhanced the information set that U.S. investors would have had available to them. Okay, so in my opinion, there really is no question. I would also say that Darrell raised an excellent point, and it goes to the observation that Tak was making earlier. Where is the stakeholder community that we have here broadly, investors, you know, preparers, regulators, what are they going to think of this organization when we undertake a project like this? Develop this type of a proposal, which is an outstanding proposal, and then back off it, and then make the argument that, well, things aren't broken. That's absolutely absurd. No. So I think it's absolutely incumbent upon us to move forward here, and I think it would be an incredible shame if we didn't. So I strongly ask this board to move forward with this proposal.
Barbara, did you want to say something?
No, I'll wait for everyone to talk.
Are you going to cast a deciding vote, or Stephen?
Well, I guess there's not much left for me to say except that I support Pat
and his impassioned plea and what Daryl said.
Now somebody from the attack.
It is very difficult decision, but now I share the view with PK rather than Pat. Actually, when I read this paper the first time, I think this is right. We should go forward no matter what the decision of FASB. We should not be affected by decision by the FASB. IFRS is IFRS. That was what I thought in the first place. And I do share the opinion of Pat. However, I have an experience in the IFRIC, and IS-32 was always the issue. There are lots of issues we should improve in the IFRS 32. That is my own observation. And also there is a FICE project which we need to complete in the future. And there are lots of issues we have to fix in the 32. So I don't think it is a good idea to go forward as a standard to amend IS 32 now. Of course, it is a great improvement, but we haven't really agreed in the worldwide basis. So therefore, I think it's a bit too early to go forward now. It's just a part of the IS 32. That is my opinion.
John and then Amaru.
I never thought I'd be saying this, but I agree with Pat. That said,
I want to add. Is it a sad day or a happy day?
Usually I don't agree. It seems to me, some of the points have been made, we've done the work, why are we throwing it away? I agree we would have not even thought about doing this, and probably we thought it was working well in practice, but now we know something different. The other part of this started in the crisis. We don't have a level playing field. We both kind of said we'd try to get together and do this. At one point, the FASB agreed 3-2. They took two new board members on, and it was those two that voted the other way 4-3. It also seems to me this is going to come back to us, and it'll come back after we've lost a lot of the thinking and the fresh memory of what we need to do to fix this. And when it comes back, we'll be doing it again. The other part of this isn't over till it's over, and right now we know that unanimously we supported this. Three of their board members did. I think we got the higher ground on this one. If we do this now, there is a possibility that down the road, somebody there could say, we can agree with it. But if we leave it alone, they're going to simply say, we know it's got warts, and they'd never move to it without another going through this again. So I think we should keep the benefit of what we've done and get this thing done and over with.
Amaru.
Again, there's much to say. Really, but I just would like to stress that I very much, and strongly agree with Pat, Steve, Daryl, John. I participated in some outreach activities, and it's clearly to me that this needs to be fixed. We are not under the heat of the 2008 crisis, but it is not the ideal way to solve things, but we've done an outstanding job here, an outstanding work, and I would just stress we unanimously voted to go ahead, 15 in the last meeting, to go ahead with this project. Even taking consideration Taka's comment in the previous discussion on credibility, I think we should go ahead and finalize this project.
We go, and then we wrap up.
Now, at 2 points, and I will support to going ahead. And first, very similar to what John said, you know, if we decide to drop off, what message will give FSB? And what message will give SEC? And let's assume FSB still wants to improve sentencing. This is the question I ask you jointly. But we decide to drop off. And then FSB board member and the staff say that, oh, you see, since we cannot reach consensus on conditional ones, you know, the ISB side just drop off all the efforts. So I don't agree. I don't think if we drop off, we'll give wrong message to the whole world, particularly to the American side.
Nobody's saying drop off.
No one said.
Nobody's saying drop off. I think it's wrong message.
Yes. Yeah. Coming into this late in the piece is very difficult for me, but, you know, I have to make a decision because I now have a vote. I actually don't accept John and Wago's argument about the message or the possibility of FASB coming on board later. I'm rather more in Elke's camp that we did this to try and get convergence. The convergence hasn't succeeded. I think we're going to cause... I understand some of the points on diversity in practice and the like, but I think we're going to cause our constituents a lot of work and a lot of pain for without a lot of gain by going to an entirely new standard rather than sticking with what they've worked with for the last X years and trying to deal with the problems. Daryl's shaking his head, and he knows much more than I do, but that's my stand on it.
Barbara.
No, I have to weigh in, even though I know Christian's going to hit me later, but especially since Christian's leaving, and I'll be heading up whatever decisions we make. I think that the ED, conceptually, we've made a lot of improvements to IS-32. I agree that we've seen diversity in practice. I agree that there's been some, clarifications we're trying to make. I don't think we should throw the work away either, but I think that we have to be careful about what we see to be as fixes. You know, when we went out and did the outreach, when we talked to users, they wanted to understand the differences between IFRS and US GAAP. They wanted to know what was gross and how we got to gross. They were not unhappy with IS-32. I understand that we're saying there's some comparability issues. I understand we're saying that it needs to be clarified, it needs to be improved. But some of these things that we're fixing, we have to be careful because there's a perceived disadvantage to IFRS preparers today because of the netting rules that we have versus US GAAP. And we don't know if we make these changes how they might be affected because we think there needs to be clarification and we have put wording together in the papers, but we've gotten some feedback already about questions about the wording we put in the papers right now. So we do have to be careful. I think someone said this, maybe it was Elke, as to whether what we're making is going to not create other new problems. I just would like you to keep that in mind.
If
I could add to Barbara's view also at the risk of being thumped by Christian later, but no.
we'll keep him isolated for
a couple
really of hours.
A bully. He's not really a bully, but he has strong views.
I'm the one sitting
there. I think there might be a bit of a middle ground that we could think about. I'm not so sure that we need to be as black and white as we might be suggesting that we are, which I think might have been what Philippe was alluding to. As soon as we write new words, new application issues are going to come up. So I don't think we can assume that because we rewrite the words, suddenly we're going to have offsetting rules that are applied consistently, internationally, as soon as we change the words. I agree that we've seen differences in application, and I must say I've been surprised and in some cases horrified with what people's interpretation of 32 is today. But I wonder whether we could take some of that word at work and add to the application guidance and some of the description in 32, keep the base words but clarify its application to get the benefit from a lot of the good work that the team has done and to improve consistency of application, but trying to keep more of the structure that we already have. So we're not bringing in so much change. It's more clarification. That way I think we can benefit from what we've done, but without suddenly imposing a whole new document on people. And I just wonder whether that should be considered as a halfway house.
Well, if that can be just to myself, that's the perfect chairman who engages himself. But I mean, because this was the first question raised by Philippe, which you did not really answer. And if this can be done, and there is a halfway house, maybe it is a quarter house, but I would be strongly in favor of pursuing this this road.
And also,
first to John.
Well, I came into the room slightly determined to support that we move ahead, and I think that would have been valuable. At the same time, I've calculated on my fingers now that we have 7 opposing, and I think we cannot move forward with a change of a standard based on a 7-8 or 8-7. So I will vote against moving forward and keeping the standard we have, because I think we must be more united if we are coming out with a change in this time. There's a lot of change fatigue around us. We have a lot of things coming, so I will vote against.
Philippe, and then we will vote.
I think we should also communicate clearly that this is absolutely not against the substance of the work, that we find that it's very helpful in clarifying what we have, but might not warrant a change to the standard. So we must communicate that, and people should refer, and we should be innovative and find a way to use that work and make it public as some reference, and maybe application guidance, maybe some other things. Also, Paul made the point about improving the disclosures. Is there a way that we can give more transparency? And I think Darrell made it that some of the lack of consistency is also linked to the lack of transparency, lack of disclosures. So can we keep some of the proposals you made on disclosures without changing the definitions and the concepts?
I think it is fair to say that the revised ED approach is a clarification of IS-32, because you have all the different legs of IS-32 within the core framework. The only, I would say, major difference between the IS-32 guidance and the ED approach, or the revised ED approach, is the word currently, and how you interpret that word currently can give you different answers in practice, and your balance sheet can look very different. And as I said, a major PLC in the UK had to restate its accounts when it was taken over just because of that word currently. And hence, it is a major issue that if you look to IS-12 and IS-19, IS-12 and IS-19 refer to IS-32, but they don't have the word currently, which is very surprising. They say, well, it's the same as IS-32, but the criteria doesn't have the word currently. And hence, you cannot just leave 32 as it is. You might have to probably address that particular issue, or maybe decide not to address that if you're comfortable with that. But then maybe provide the application guidance to enhance how you apply it, because all that you're trying to do with the revised ED is just making the IS-32 better. You're clarifying it. It's the same concept and the same conclusions. You're just making it more easy to apply and easy to interpret.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I just wanted to ask Sue. I look quickly here. The only guidance is mandatory guidance in IAS-32. We don't have any in Part B. Are you suggesting then that it would be something more than educational guidance, but rather it would be mandatory application?
That was what I was thinking. I mean, and I defer to Christian on whether it's even possible, but I was thinking on some of the things like simultaneous settlement, for example, where there's, you know, differences in views, some of that. I think it should be in the application guidance, because if we don't want that diversity.
I find that
Yeah, we go first, and then Pat, and then we really...
We could be talking past.
Now, listen to the views from those support continue and those don't want. But I see we are on the same page. You know, those again say that we need 17, and 17 is good, we should take. And the only difference I would think might be, I would say, finish it. In my mind, it's still the amendment to 32 rather than of new standards, in my mind. And then what's the alternative? Can we pass to IFRIC to give interpretation, or give IFRIC to have any improvement, or give to Michael to have educational material?
So if we want to compare these three with the ones we finalize it, I would prefer we finalize it. If some of us still feel not certain on some of the aspects, we can still debate and say among those five areas we drop off two, which seems not input a lot or may create new confusing. But I think I don't see the huge difference among the two groups.
No, there's certainly doesn't seem to be difference on the substance of the matter. But,
yeah, I guess that's what I wanted to clarify and pick up on Sue's comments and make sure we're not talking past one another here. Those people who said, let's leave IS-32 where it is one group of views. Those people who say, let's leave IS-32 in place, but let's make some improvements, I see in a different camp, as opposed to, you know, just moving forward with the current proposal and basically supersede 32. Are those people who are saying, say, leave 32 in place, which is where I think I hear Sue following on Philippe's comments, are you saying adopt the improvements that have been identified in this project, or are you saying abandon the improvements identified in this project?
Well, if you
which
want,
is it?
If you want my opinion, is there can be some improvements to 32. Whether you adopt all of the improvements is a matter for debate.
The question is which ones?
Well, that's what we need to debate.
But that could extend this project, I guess, another couple months.
But in the meantime, we have a standard in place. I have to say there's diversity in practice. But we're not then introducing a whole new standard to our constituents to pick up, reinterpret, reapply. You know, we could do it perhaps, we need to think about it, we could do it perhaps with guidance and the like. And I mean, some of the things in the new ED, I was saying to Christian, it was a shame he raised currently, because it's the bit of the new ED I actually don't agree with, but that's another point.
Well, I guess at the end of the day, my question here is just this, and I think you've said this, Ian, in past discussions, is this a question of we want to take certain changes because we like the outcomes, or are we not moving forward with this because it's going to affect outcomes? And you know, if in fact there was not going to be any effect to these changes, I would say you're right. Let's not impose change upon our stakeholders. But what we're saying is there are questions around interpretation and practice, which we've identified. Okay, one of our board members even acknowledges it as a former preparer. So for us to ignore that, in my mind, is not responsible. And that's what I'm trying to get my hands around here. You know, we've identified an issue, we have solutions, but now we're saying, well, let's not pursue that. And the argument that you made, Barbara, I think is completely irrelevant. The point about a level playing field with U.S. companies, we shouldn't care about companies that aren't using our standards. If we think our standards are improving financial reporting on behalf of capital market participants, then we should adopt those standards.
Can I,
Barbara?
Can I respond? I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I understand why you're saying that, and I don't necessarily disagree with you. But we did start this project for convergence. I don't think we're necessarily going to improve anything by making these improvements. Will conceptually improve the standard. It will also result in some changes for some of our preparers today. It may be, you know, less offsetting for them, which may be what the boards want. We're moving away from a level playing field, which isn't necessarily a reason not to make the change, but I think it's something to keep in mind, and I also think it's the timing of the changes.
We didn't have a level playing field to begin with, though, remember?
I agree, but the timing of the changes is such that we have so many things going on right now for preparers. Maybe it, you know, using these changes at another time would be a better use of our work. I'm not saying, I mean, we did a lot of work. I don't want that to go to waste either. But we've also asked the boards about this for over a year, and originally the board was happy with 32. So,
well, if we
package I don't think
this
it's so
to make it part of the overall FI project, the actual effective date and implementation could in fact be several years down the road.
Yes.
So that argument about, you know, we're causing a lot of change currently, I don't think holds a whole lot of weight.
you know, if...
And that's another issue I think the board has to consider is do we hold this as part of the overall...
Can you address that, Barbara? Just last comment.
Do we hold this as, over, as part of the overall package? Or do we move forward with it right now?
Well, if we want to... If we want to make an improvement to offsetting, I mean, there are a lot of other questions we could be bringing up in terms of what offsetting is. So, I mean, there are other issues. If you really want to start really improving IS-32 on our own as the ISB, I think we were looking at it more as a converged.
Do we have new arguments?
I want. If the issue is to clarify what is the meaning of currently, I think we should not wait 5 years to give that definition. Now, is it, do we really need to do a whole new standard to explain what is the meaning of currently? We have an annual improvements process. Can we deal with that through annual improvements? Or is it such a big issue that we need to issue a full new IS-32 to explain the meaning of currently or the meaning of legally enforceable?
Okay. I think we are ready for a vote unless we have... Well, then I'll let Elke first. You have a new...
No, I think we are talking past each other here. We all agree that in the result of all the deliberation, but I think for those that want to retain IS-32, it doesn't meet the hurdle to issue a new standard. It just means there is the one or the other area where you could do a bit of clarification. And I think Sue's way or annual improvement or whatever. I think we need to keep in mind issuing a new standard will mean people look at it with a fresh eye because we take a totally new wording and we are creating more than just a bit of work where they have a bit of time. It's not that we don't like the answer. We have voted 50-0. The question is just, does it pass the test that we need a new standard for it?
Okay. Doug?
Yes, just in short. The question is whether or not we keep talking with FASB, or if we go this way, we go this way. That's it. Which kind of impression are we giving? So that's the point. Therefore, I would like to keep current IS-32 at the moment and keep talking with FASB.
Yeah. Okay. That's not good. That's good, John. John?
The informal count, we're not going to go forward with this. Okay, so I guess we have to vote and accept that. But could you ask whether we as a board would be willing to amend 32 to at least get rid of some of the known problems? Could you ask the question?
Sue?
I'm just responding to Barbara.
Oh.
No, my only point, because I think I've created some confusion in terms of what I actually am trying to say, is I think that we should try and keep as much of the wording and structure as 32 of 32 as we can, because every time we change a word, that means something, you know, everybody sits and reassesses the whole thing, even if we didn't mean a big change. So my preference would be to keep as much of the structure and wording of 32 as we can, and just to address the areas where we've seen the application diversity. That's more than Barbara's shaking her head. She doesn't like that approach.
No, I think it's the same as the, frankly, yes, I think it's the same as what you deal with.
I don't think it is, because the draft of the document that I've seen, it's got, you know, a new objective of what offsetting means. There's all sorts of changes, and those things have...
But it would still mean a change of the standard. And, I think we have to come to a vote, and I think we should vote on whether we want to pursue approach A, which would be to move forward with the proposals in the ED, so to change the ED, as proposed by Christian, who are in favor of doing so.
Seven.
Opposed?
Eight.
That's up. We voted against continuing with the proposals to change the ED.
In my mind, I think those who support may hold the same views, we can accept no change at all. Just like Sue said,
I think we actually, in the same, on the same page.
Yes, but we're not going to repeat all the whole kind of thing. I mean, that is, it has been clear from the beginning that substantially we don't differ from opinions. This is about weighing. Are the improvements of such substantial that it's that we should pursue a change of the standard, or do we live with the standard as it is
but try
to seek for ways to...
We're not going to make any changes.
But should we not ask that question? Does that mean that people want to make no changes?
We can make some changes. If it's some improvements. Well, the staff has to come to us.
Yeah, no, but otherwise we're going to do
what? Yeah.
I'm very supportive of that after we get it presented, analyzed, and I would like to consider before I have an opinion on that topic. I would be positive, but I'd like to understand what it could be and what the implications are.
I don't think Sue's asking that we vote on making changes now.
Whether you want us to look at something else.
And bring something back to show how you can fix some of the obvious problems that are there that are consistent with the original proposals, what the extent of that would be.
Can I ask the obvious
problems?
I'm not sure that can be done. But
when would you do that? Is that something you'll do next month, or is that something you do
6 months or 12 months or 18 months from now? I think that we have a set of papers that have been presented, I think, about three meetings now, and have not been discussed yet. And those papers address the issues that people have in practice with IS 32. And today you have those papers as paper 6B to D. And those papers are addressing all the issues that have come out of the outreach exercise and also the publication of the ED. We don't know whether those papers are sufficient for you in terms of considering what changes you would like to make to IS 32. I don't know whether you want something different from what.
Amaru.
A quick comment on this, Chris. We have two questions here. The questions are in total opposite camps. We either go ahead and then we were prepared to discuss paper B to D, considering this, or we just drop the project off and we are not going to discuss. The other proposal that Sue made somewhat, I understood, should be viewed by myself as approach B plus. It means, okay, are you then willing to consider a potential enhancement to IS 32 wording to the major points identified? This is another set of papers, or maybe the same issues, but with another view, because then the staff needs to, okay, this is a annual improvement, this cannot be an annual improvement because it's changed. So I don't think we are prepared to discuss the other three papers, consider the decision taken right now.
So we would ask the staff to look whether there are possibilities for narrow scope improvements within IAS 32.
Although, Christian, is it worth asking whether the issues that are covered by these papers are things that the board would like to address? Because then at least tells us what we need to focus on as the issues to fix to come back.
I think probably there are about four issues that you will have to address either now or in the future, because the issues will come back either through IFRIC or another means. One of them is the issue of units of account. Today, some preparers apply the guidance to individual cash flows. Others apply to only individual financial instruments, and others apply to group of financial instruments. IS 32 is not clear as to what you can do. So you will need to fix that problem or sometime in the future.
Well,
the second one is the issue of collateral. It is not mentioned anywhere in IS 32 how you address collateral, whether you can offset it, and under what circumstances you can offset collateral. And hence, people do it in different ways. And so you will need to address that issue. Some also apply IS 32 as if it is FIN 39, where you just offset all the financial the derivatives that you have plus the collateral, because that's the way they interpret IS 32. So if you don't want the FIN 39 guidance, that's the way some are applying that guidance, your guidance today. are you going to make a change to that so that your intentions will be really made clear so that it can be applied properly? That's one issue that you will need to look into. The one that's also troubling is simultaneous settlement. And there you have a major problem. Some are even referring to FIN 41 to interpret IFRS, which should not be the case. So you need to do something about that. And all those issues are outlined in the papers that you have. Maybe it might be cut differently next time so that you can then have a chance to discuss that. But you need to fix that. Or sometime in the future, it will come back for you to address.
Listen, I think it's clear the board has voted against changing going forward with the approach A, which would be to move forward with the proposals in ED. The most that the majority of the board are willing to consider are narrow scope improvements. Obviously, Christian is of the opinion that even that would result in change along all those fronts that he would like. And I'm not so sure that it is fruitful at this point to go through all these papers, issue by issue, without first having an opinion of the staff. If we have to weigh all these issues and we know that the board only wants to consider a narrow scope improvement, let us take a look at what we then propose to the board or not. Because I don't think we are going to get that weighing today. So I would propose that the staff come back to us at this point. Okay. Yes? Christian, I'm very sorry that we couldn't make your last day a happier one.
I think my job is done. My job is to provide the analysis.
And
you have to make a decision.
I am sure it will not be in vain, and that at some point these improvements will take place. And let me finish this by saying that I've only known you for a very short time. I'm really sorry that you have to go, because I truly always enjoyed your eloquence at this table, and your obvious very bright intelligence. And I'm sure you will be extremely successful in the following up of your career. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we break for lunch. 12:15, we start again. I can't manifest itself.